Glory! Get your hands up and get another drink. Nothing worse than a straight Christian. The only way to be a Christian is to be drunk in the Spirit. Don't get so serious. The only thing you need to be serious is about your walk. Everything else is a joke. People get too serious in everything else, but their walk. Let's see. Psalm 24. Let's go to Psalm 24 for a momento. Psalm 24. Isn't it awesome and how we have the authority to change the atmosphere? You know, I know many of us in this room are going, wow, I needed this. Now, it's amazing. And how the enemy tries to prevent us from changing the atmosphere. In other words, what you're doing is kicking him out. See, you're either in the presence of evil or in the presence of the Lord, one or the other. There's no in between. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, would you read it with me? The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Isn't that a wonderful question? Who can stand in the presence of God? Or who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4. Here's the answer. He who has what? Clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. And who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. How many of y'all know you can be the idol? Nor sworn deceitfully. See, there's something very important that we always must be reminded of. You gave your life to the Lord, so you no longer have one. When you begin to fight for your life, what you're trying to do is bring God into your life. And he's not coming in your life. You're going in him, his life. It's either in his life or the highway. Are you listening? See, too many people, they get saved and they try to bring God into their life. Well, he's not going in your life. You're going to either live in his life or you're going to live in the presence of evil. That's one or the other. See, he came to bring life. That means for you to maintain life, you must live in his life. And he says, who is going to come before me and stand? Who can stand before me? Only him who has clean hands and a pure heart. A pure heart. That's why your heart is the character of your spirit. This is where you must judge your motives, your attitudes, your fruits. Because one thing we want to do is maintain the presence of God in our life. See, the presence of God must always be more than the presence of evil. And the only way to maintain that arena is to maintain clean hands and a pure heart. Now, the clean hands is a representation of things that we touch. In other words, you may think, well, I didn't touch anything, but you might have touched something here. In other words, what you've agreed with, the voice of the stranger. Who told you that? Who told you that this, this, and this? Who told you about that? Who told you? So if you've touched and agreed with it, your hands are dirty. Because what you've done now is you've agreed with the presence of evil. Now the Lord looks at you as the presence of evil. Does everybody understand this? But I didn't mean it. Well, let me share something with you. That's called ignorance. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen, the devil is not going to wait till you learn, then attack you.
I'll give him a little while, then I'll go after him.
Sorry, don't work that way. He's going to attack you before you learn. Has everybody got it? He's going to do everything he can do to prevent you from getting it. And not only getting it, but living it. Living it. So you have to judge yourself and how you've lived these last 24 hours. Hello. So have you touched and agreed with? You know, many of you fought to get here.
The devil was trying to touch you and agree with about that TV program, popcorn, and all kinds of other stuff.
I'm too tired. Oh, I got to go to Bible study again. Oh, you need to die to yourself. That means self is running your life. And self is the offspring of darkness. And who you serve when you die is where you go. So if you're serving self, where are you going? Well, you're not getting in my dad's house. Only those who do the will of God go home. Hello. But this is not about a message of going home. This is about a message of how the enemy attacks us in many ways. You know, we need to know the enemy's strategies. And there's a strategy to what you think is what you are. As a man thinks, so he is. So he's always going to attack you on the thought pattern. That's his job. He does it well. So as you think and agree is what you will become. That's not going to stop today or tomorrow. Now you may think, well, maybe, don't you ever get, doesn't this ever stop when you get older? No. The devil's no respecter of age either. He tries to wear us down. He tries to get us to give up. He tries to cause us to run. He tries to exchange or bribe us with exchanging the fulfillment of his presence for the fulfillment of money, so that we can boast how much money we've made this week. See, that's an exchange. The devil's bribed you. Things are getting critical now. They're getting more sensitive now. You're going to find that the battle is more strategic. The battle is more strategic now. The attack against you is more strategic. It's like the arrows are sharper and piercing more. And the enemy's going to try to get you to put yourself first before God. Put yourself first before God in the area of the things of the world. You know, do you realize that the body is being tested right now? Especially in the financial? The body is being tested financial. God is testing his children to see where their heart's at. Whether you're a good steward, whether you're doing your tithes, your offerings, or you're paying God's bills. See, there is a tremendous test because he tests us because we're earning his trust. And he doesn't test you when you're on the mountaintop. Oh, things are great. God doesn't test you that. He tests you in the valley. He tests you when things are difficult because he's trying to show you your heart. Where is your loyalty at? Where is your service at? And where is your true family at? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive what? blessing from the Lord. Now, let me share something with you. Just because you may get blessed at work and so forth and whatever, it doesn't mean God is approving of you. People put all of their approval upon how much material they have, how much money they have, how many things they do. That has nothing to do with God's approval. Because there's going to be many people who are going to stand before him and say, Lord, look, I did all this for you. He's going to say, you idiot. Spiritually blinded. You did that for yourself to try to tell people that I had favor with you and you built it yourself and it was not my favor. Depart from me, I don't know you. The worst thing we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. It says, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Who seek your what? Face. There's this place that God is requiring us to be now. It's a time of worship like you've never worshipped before. Why? Because the Lord is desiring. His glory wants to be here on the earth. And he wants, listen, his glory comes through the body of Christ. Hello. This is a time of such worship and such, we're getting that heart pure. It is such a time right now, all the way to the end. This is not a time to be nonchalant about your worship. This is not a time to be lazy. This is not a time to, who cares what anybody thinks? That's self. This is the time to let go and grab hold of God that he can grab hold of you. Because only he's going to bring you through the storm. And I'd rather grab hold of him on the storm than anything else. Amen? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. The name of tonight's teaching is called The Curse of Rebellion. The curse of rebellion. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. Hello. If you think you can outwit the serpent or the powers of darkness or a demon in the flesh, you lose. Hello. They've been around a lot longer than me and you. They know exactly how to manipulate, how to push your buttons. You know, I always tell people, you know, we're look at yourself like a vending machine. See, the devil comes up to push your buttons. You want every shelf empty of self. Everything's a self nutty one, a self smoothie one, a self this, a self that. You know, you got six shelves, meaning man. And they all need to get emptied of all the self delicacies. So the enemy's going to come up. He doesn't even have to put the quarter in. He's going to push that button, and God's going to allow these things to happen until we're emptied. And now every slot is filled with the presence of God. So the enemy pushes the button, and he gets kicked in the head. Because the presence of God comes out, and gives the Holy Ghost slap. Are you listening? You know what happens then? He starts looking for other buttons. You know why? Because he fears you. He fears you. But see, he knows what button to push. Poof. He knows where the emotional attachments are. Oh, look at this button. Man, there's a bunch of them. On this button, we got anger, fear, anxiety, stress. Pow! Yahoo! And then he eats. Hello? And the other button is idols, materialism, cash. Pew, 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 pew. Yahoo! And then he calls the other dudes, and they come and eat. Unforgiveness, anger, hatred. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Next thing you know, you got every demon in hell around you getting a free lunch. And you don't even realize it until later. See, we want to be the first one to recognize it, not the last one. Hallelujah. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you what? Touch it, lest you what? Die." Now, there's something that's not correct here because she was out of position. She should have even never been there. Then a serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." So he called God a liar, didn't he? "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, they were like God. And God was teaching them. They already were like God. Hello? "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So what happened here is the serpent deceived and manipulated the woman to rebel. To what? Rebel. And it brought a curse. This was bringing a curse of rebellion and promoting the ways of evil. So, you and I were born with the curse of rebellion. Is everybody with me? You were born with the curse of rebellion. And the ways of evil would be installed to all mankind because she was the mother of all birth. Does everybody got it? So that's why he had to cause with the woman, because she was the one that would produce offsprings. Is everybody all right? Has everybody got that? She would produce the offsprings. So he wanted to get her. And he knew that if he couldn't get Adam, are you listening? Because he couldn't get Adam. So he knew that if he went after her, she would go to Adam. Because he couldn't get Adam. Adam was in divine position. She wasn't. Is everybody all right? In this, she was the one that would bring birth. She knew that he knew that if he could plant a seed in her, that she would produce offsprings of rebellion. Is everybody okay? Now the evil ways of man are manifested because of the inherited curse of rebellion. Go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Now remember, the serpent deceived and manipulated the woman Eve. That was called witchcraft. That is called witchcraft. Has everybody got it? The serpent manipulates and deceives through witchcraft. Everything he does is associated with witchcraft. Witchcraft always promotes rebellion. So if you've got accursed items in your house, you're going to be rebellious because there's witchcraft there. Wherever the presence of evil was after you have been born again, filled with the Spirit of God, if there is rebellion there, it is a fruit of the presence of evil somewhere along the line. There is an open door. If you can't deny yourself, that means somebody's got control over you. Like when you walk by that refrigerator and that big piece of chocolate with nuts on it is calling you every time. Hello? And you walk by that refrigerator and you can see it, you can picture it. It's because it's calling you. Hello? Eat me. So what's the enemy trying to do? Listen, it's because you don't want to eat it is when the attack comes. Are you listening? Why? Because there's something that you're trying to do to please God, aren't you? If you think the enemy's going to sit down and order pizza while you choose to please God, that's not what's happening. He doesn't take a break. The word tells us the devil seeks whom he may devour. And he's looking for any open door. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, would you read it with me? So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as what? In obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams." I can't tell you how many people say, "Well, I've sacrificed for the Lord." That's nice. You're doing a lot of sacrificing, but no obeying. That's called false martyrism. False martyrism.
"Oh, I sacrifice."
Whippy, your sacrifice ain't worth a hoop. It's obedience God is looking for. False martyrism is what the devil loves to implement. Because a person thinks that they're sacrificing for God. I'll never forget, I saw this TV program, and they were talking to these people, and this priest got on there. And he says, "I've taken the oath of poverty." I said, "What an idiot." He took an oath of poverty? God didn't want me to be impoverished. That ain't my dad's gospel. He says he'd come to bring life and life more abundantly. That's called false martyrism. It's a false sacrifice. It's a soulish, fleshly sacrifice that's trying to justify because I'm suffering for God. I don't need to obey him. Ooh. Verse 23. "For rebellion is as the what? Sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Now, we are called to be priests and king, but you first must fulfill your priesthood before you can fulfill your kingship. Does everybody get this? See, rebellion is associated with witchcraft, isn't it? And please understand this, too. Rebellion is the area where we also please ourselves before God. In other words, the greatest joy that you can have is to know that you have pleased God. Not because you please somebody else. Yeah, that you were to encourage one another, amen, that's great. But it's got nothing to do with pleasing God. It's about pleasing God. Because if your heart truly has a desire to please him, you're willing to do whatever he asks you to do. Other than that, everything is a false martyrism because it's false sacrifice. Why sacrifice myself? Because I come to Bible study. I sacrifice because I give 10% to God. That is not sacrifice. That's obedience. Hello? Has everybody got it? That's a part of your duty and mine. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft because sin is the presence of evil. The presence of evil is to promote the evil ways. Everyone say evil ways. And when he promotes evil ways, then there's access by a curse. So where the enemy has access to you, it's because there's a curse there. Because there's a what? A curse. A curse is a legal document that says to God, "I have a right to access that life." This is what a demon carries. See, he's got documents he carries on him. It's when the angels of the Lord pull him over. "Yo, show us your ID. What you doing in this place?"
"I have a legal document, man."
That's why they're called aliens. If he's got a legal document, he's got a legal access to you. All right, go ahead. Hello? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The curse of rebellion has been inherited to all mankind. You fight it on a daily basis. Even when the curse is broke, are you listening? And that spirit of rebellion is removed from you, you still are fighting it, and I'm not saying that you're agreeing with it. But it's still pressurized all around you because it's constantly coming at you to rebel, to rebel, to rebel, to rebel. Why? Because who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. So is his presence everywhere? Now people think, no, he can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent. Omnipresent means past, present, and future. But I'm telling you, his kingdom on this earth is everywhere. His evil presence is everywhere. Does everybody got it? In fact, the Bible tells us that it's the presence of the kingdom of God's kingdom, the body of Christ, that's holding back the evil presence. Once we're out of here, all hell's breaking out on this earth. Aren't you glad you won't be here when that happens? You'll be here for part of it, though. You'll see some hell on here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, is everybody there? Start at verse 1, please. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you as one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his what? Craftiness, witchcraft. So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, you can put up with it, but don't let it take you. Does everybody understand that? Don't agree with it. You put up with it. You don't agree with it. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. So we see here that the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, which is witchcraft. All rebellion is a fruit of a curse. It is a fruit of a what? A curse. And the idol, please get this, the idol is now self. The idol is now self. So if self can constantly be activated, has everybody got it? If self can constantly be activated, you will find the fruit of rebellion there. Because self was born with the curse of rebellion. And when self is constant, is more alive in you than the new creation, that means a curse is there. And the spirit of rebellion is there. Is everybody all right? Man, you all look serious. Good. Because it is a time to be serious. You know, we have enough fights on our hands and have to bring more curses on our life. Amen? So is all disobedience a curse? Yes. So when God has asked you to do something and you made a vow to it, in fact, he warns us, and you don't do it, what does it bring? A curse. And what is a curse? It is a legal document for demons to access us. And we wonder why. Half the body of Christ is a mess. Half the body of Christ is carnal. They're still trying to build their own empires. They're using God's name and God's ability and all of the other things to build their own stuff. And they justify it by little means of giving. God is not asking for your money. He's asking for you. Hello. Not that he doesn't want us to give, fill his storehouses. But he wants me and you. It's not how much you can do for God. He's not looking at what you can do for him. He's not looking for diplomas. He's not looking for any of these things. Those are sacrifices. He's looking for obedience. He wants me and you. Psalm 36. The curse of rebellion. Psalm 36, verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the what? Wicked. So where the presence of evil is that wicked? Yes. So if you're agreeing with the presence of evil, are you considered wicked? Yes. But God knows my heart. Yes. There is no fear of what? God before his what? Eyes. Let me share something. The acts of sin or the presence of evil because of the curse of rebellion. Remember, the curse allows access of demonic forces or the presence of evil. You will find that the first thing that begins to happen is you lose the fear of God. That is the first sign of the presence of evil and the curse of rebellion. You lose the fear of God. In other words, you're not afraid to make the wrong choice. You're not afraid. Are you listening? And I'm talking about the fear of the Lord and reverence, respect, and honor to him. Well, I'll just make this choice, and if I blow it, God will forgive me. No, that's not the fear of the Lord. Because that part in that area is where you want to please him. That's a reverence and fear and respect to him. So your decisions and the things that you agree with must be established by the reverence and respect and honor to the Lord. That's called the fear of the Lord. And when there's presence of evil, a decision, people make assumptions like candy. Because the fear of the Lord isn't there. Oh, I love the Lord. Then why do you constantly make that decision? Listen, if you love him, you obey him. You don't assume, you wait. Let me share something with you that where the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of anxious is. Because anxious and rebellion love one another. They work together, man. Verse 2. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. In other words, justifies and makes excuses of the evil ways of the works of the flesh. In other words, they see it, but they justify it. Remember, the first sign, let me share with you, the first sign is the loss of the fear of the Lord. The second, I guess you should say fruit, not sign, however you want to say it, the first act, is there's excuses made. There's justification. There's blaming. Are you listening? Justifies and makes excuses of the evil ways of the wrath of the flesh. Well, you know, and excuses. Verse 3. It says, the words of his mouth are what? Wickedness and deceit. In other words, there is a perverse mouth. The mouth promotes perversion and has lost the sense of godliness or godly wisdom to do good. Watch this. It says, the words of the mouth are wickedness and what? Deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. So, the third sign or the third fruit that you will see when there is a curse and the presence of evil and, of course, the curse of rebellion, that the mouth promotes perverseness and has lost the sense of godly wisdom to do good. You will find that an individual will become a coarse jester. A what? Coarse jester. That is a perverse mouth. Well, I thought swearing is a perverse mouth. Yes, it is. But an individual that is a coarse jester is also a perverse mouth. That means that there's a curse there and the presence of evil and the curse of rebellion is there. Because the individual always makes a joke out of something, but in true reality, out of the mouth, the what? Heart speaks. So there's always a coarse jest. When you see that, there is evil there. And it will have a form of godliness, but I'm telling you, there is evil there. There is a wolf in that sheep's clothing. And you be careful. Because it'll eat you up later. It will put you under the bus. It will always come first before you. Those are called harlings. Or hirelings. That's good enough. In verse 4, it says, he devises wickedness on his bed, and he sets himself in a way that is not good, nor, and he does not what? Abhor what? Evil. In other words, he loses, they lose their rest and peace because the plan of the evil has overtaken them from the plan of God. They cannot rest. And it promotes evil vengeance. Evil vengeance. And now, and the fifth thing that happens is the reality of the presence of evil is lost. They no longer sense the presence of evil. They can't tell. I'll go back over these. Number one, the loss of the fear of God. Number two, justifies and makes excuses of evil ways of the wrath of the flesh. Next. We ready? Number three, the mouth promotes perverseness, coarse jesting, and the individual has lost his sense of godly wisdom to do good. Want me to repeat that? The mouth promotes perverseness and coarse jesting, and has lost the sense of godly wisdom to do good. In other words, it has a form of godliness, but it's done in the flesh. Number four, they lose their rest and peace because the plan of evil has overtaken the plan of God. The plan of evil has overtaken the plan of God, and it promotes evil vengeance. And I know we've all struggled with something that you might have been offended, you might have been hurt, you might have been rejected, and you're forgiving, you're blessing, you're doing, first of all, you got to get rid of the emotional attachment and the emotional attachment spirit. Or that enemy will keep you all night, you'd be thinking, oh man, I don't want vengeance, but their voice is coming all the time for vengeance, vengeance, vengeance. And you won't get rest until you repent and get rid of that ugly thing. And the fifth thing is the reality of the presence of evil is lost. It's lost. And the presence of evil, the reality of the presence of evil is lost, and there's no longer a hatred for the presence of evil, but a welcome to the presence of evil, an unknowing welcome. These are the acts of the transgressions because of the curse of rebellion. Everybody all right? Got it? You didn't get it? Get the tape. 2 Kings 17. How many of y'all know that the devil, once you've been freed from the curse, wants to reinitiate it or reestablish it? Amen? That's his job.
Man, I don't believe I just did that. I've been free for so long. Well, hello.
You can get free again. 2 Kings 17, in verse 5. Is everybody there? Let us read this together. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria. and placed them in Halah, and by the harbor, the river Gazan, and in the city of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had what? Sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. The word Egypt here means worldliness. For under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared what? Other gods. They what? In other words, they reverenced and respected and honored other gods but the true God. And had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in their cities from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to what? Provoke the Lord to what? Anger. For they served what? Now, idols. Again, can self be an idol? Yes. Of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. Now, this is very powerful because evil ways provoke God. Evil ways provoke God. And they provoke him to change his good for us to disaster. His good for us to what? Disaster. In Malachi 2. Malachi chapter 2. How many of y'all know God can change his mind? Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Malachi 2, verse 1. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. How many of y'all know we're called to be priests? If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, what's he talking about? If you're not taking to heart, if you're not taking this serious of what I've told you to do, if the place I've put you in, if you're not in divine order, if you're not taking this serious, and you're not taking this to heart, to give glory to my name. Because see, glory goes to his name in the things that we do do. I will send a what? Curse upon you. And what's a curse going to do? It's a legal document for demons to access you. And I will what? Curse your what? Blessings. It's legal for the devil to come and steal from you. So a curse will come upon, and the things that God blessed you with will now become a curse. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to what? Heart. About what? Idols. Idols. You didn't take it to heart. You didn't take it to heart that I placed you in a place. You didn't take it to heart of what I asked you to do. You didn't take it to heart. You didn't take it serious. I will cause a curse to come to your blessings. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on your face and refuge on your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi, which is priest, may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. The curse of rebellion. In verse 16. But they and our fathers acted proudly. Say proudly. Hardened their necks and did not heed your commandments. They refused to what? Obey. And they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they what? Harden their necks. And in their what? Rebellion. They appointed a leader to return to their what? Bondage. See, rebellion always returns you to bondage. You may not know it today, but you will know it. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. In rebellion, they appointed a leader to return them to bondage. In other words, they appointed an idol. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:5, you don't have to go there, curses a man who trusts in man and blesses a man who trusts in the Lord. I want to share something with you very important. This country is in rebellion. It's promoting evil ways. This country is in trouble right now, but I'm telling you, the body of Christ is fighting. But this country is promoting evil ways. And there will be more disasters. Because God is going to allow disasters to happen. And hope to waken this country up. So that they may know that he is the Lord God. In Proverbs 17. But you and I must be ready. In season and out. We must be ready to receive and to give. And Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. An evil man seeks only what? Rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Hello? Evil man seeks only rebellion, looks to refuse authority. Why? Because that spirit gets fed. Does everybody get that? That spirit must reject authority. It has to. It will rebel against the things God is trying. It will rebel against authority. It tries to get away with it because that spirit within wants to get fed. That's how they get fed. That's why the Bible says, submit to God, then resist the devil. So if you can't submit to God, you can't resist the devil. So if you're rejecting God, you're submitting to the devil. Right? In Jeremiah 29. Glory, we're going to be moving. We're moving in a grooving now. Jeremiah 29. And again, if you hear the voice say, this is for my neighbor. You're loaded. This message ain't for me, it's for my neighbor. Hello. You better check your fruit. And find out who's in your mirror. Jeremiah 29:31 send to all those in captivity, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nemelite, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, and I have not sent him, and he has caused you to trust in a lie, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite, whatever, and his family. In other words, a curse will come down. And he shall not have anyone to dwell among this people, nor shall he see the what? The good that I do for my people, says the Lord, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord. It's amazing, and people, you know what? People begin to separate themselves into the areas where those who are rebellious. They begin to separate themselves and come under, I guess, the flock of rebellion. They hang out together. Yes. Oh, we're not gonna submit to this. We're not gonna submit to what God has placed me in this fellowship. We're gonna do what we wanna do because it feels good. I get more goosebumps over here than I do over here. That is rebellion. Hello? Not see the good of God. And they will be destroyed because they teach rebellion. In other words, how they're living is now expressing rebellion. You think this country's in that attitude? Amen. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. Verse 19. 18's good. Isaiah 5 and verse 18. Are y'all getting this tonight? Man, I got enough notes for three nights. No. Did y'all pack a lunch? In verse 18. Jeremiah 5:18. Woe to those. I mean Isaiah. Thank you. Isaiah 5:18. Whoa, this is not ho, ho, ho. This is woe. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. Woe to those who call what? Evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And that's what's happening right now in this country, big time. And it's even happening in the body of Christ. Because many in the body of Christ are petting evil. They're petting evil. Petting evil is listening to worldly music. Petting evil is watching perverse flicks. Petting evil. Does everybody understand this? You pet evil. In other words, we're to abhor evil. And there are certain things that God is requiring us not to touch. And the closer you get to the Lord, the tighter he is on you. Because closeness has to do with sanctification. And in this sanctification, God doesn't dwell with sin. He dwells with the upright. I'd rather have a relationship close to him than a distant. And you know what? Many individuals have a long-distance relationship with God. Many. There's truly not that close relationship with the Lord. There's a long distance. There isn't that constant fellowship. It's, oh, Lord, when I need you, please pick up the phone. And then you lose his number. And then you need to go to somebody else to get it. There isn't anything worse than a long-distance relationship with God. And the enemy loves that. Hosea 4. Hosea chapter 4. Verse 17. Is everybody there? Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. This is powerful because in this arena where there's idols, it says that they've joined to idols. He says, let them alone. There's times when the Lord tells me, let that person alone. And I do. Let them alone. They drink what? Rebellion. How many of y'all want to drink rebellion? That's pretty nasty. It isn't refreshing at all. It causes individuals to commit harlotry, and harlotry is to honor or worship other gods or maintain an idol, anything between you and God. In Mark 15, the curse of rebellion. Mark 15 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Mark 15, verse 6. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. And they committed murder in rebellion. How many of y'all know you can murder someone with your thoughts? How about your tongue? Hallelujah. Murder in rebellion, spiritual abortion, physical abortion, and murder, again with the tongue, is evil ways that provoke the Lord to what? To anger. It says, then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. Now, I want you to understand something. In the Word of God, when Jesus went into the wilderness and the enemy tempted Jesus, well, one of the things he tempted him to do was to bow and worship him. And the Lord said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That is called provoke. When you provoke God, I want you to understand something, he will challenge you. There's always a response when there's a provoke. God will challenge you. And he's going to challenge you to a place to where you must deny yourself, or you will lose his trust or gain it. Has everybody got this? Because the curse of rebellion is going to promote the things against what God says. And it's the presence of evil. In this, there will be associated idols, self. And when you provoke God by constant rebellion, he responds by a challenge. Every time. He will challenge you every time there is rebellion manifested. And he will challenge you to expose yourself as the idol and hope that you will deny yourself on that challenge so that you can regain his trust or lose it. Do you know that daily we are always living to not only please him but gaining his trust? Now, you may trust him, but he may not trust you. Because of the areas of rebellion. So trust is earned, isn't it? And freedom is learned. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In the book of Jeremiah in 23, you don't have to go there, in verse 12, it talks about disasters come. And disasters are going to come to this country. and we must be ready. But you don't want them to affect you, do you? So if disasters are coming to the rebellious, if you're associated with rebellion, is it coming to you? Yes. Yes. There will be disasters and there will be distress. Everyone say disasters and distress. But those who are truly following with a pure heart and clean hands will not get caught up. But it may be all around them. They may see others fall into it. But those who with a clean hands and pure heart will stand on solid ground. Is everybody okay? It's time to stop justifying and start recognizing. Stop justifying and start recognizing. I've got a lot of other scriptures, but I don't want to keep you here till Tuesday next week. But I'm sharing with you that it is a serious time. It is not a game. It is a matter of life and death. If you're not sold out, you'll get sold. And I want to close in Romans 13. Romans 13, the curse of rebellion. It's time to get rid of it. Get rid of that stinky demon. In Romans 13, is everybody there? Remember, to believe is to follow. By not following, you'll bring a curse of rebellion. And it will cause you to live in the presence of evil. Now, many people live in the presence of evil even though they're believers and spirit-filled. And they don't realize it because the presence of evil has come now as familiar spirits. Just because they're not manifesting evil things, they come to replace the Holy Spirit. And I'd love to give you the goosebumps. But their promotion is rebellion. But see, they don't see it. Because they're caught by feeling and they're caught by all the other things. They're busy serving, but they have no idea that they're walking in the presence of evil, which is familiar spirits. Because there is not the submission. There is the fruit of rebellion. How many of y'all know there's a false peace? Amen. There's a false peace. There's a carnal peace. But there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's the peace we always want. In Romans 13 and verse 12. Let's start at verse 11. And do this knowing the time that now is the high time to what? Awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day it is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The curse of rebellion. Would you lift your hands to heaven, please? Father, we thank you for your word, and we are honored and blessed for revelation and impartation. Grant us the discernment and clarity that we may be notified of the fruits of the presence of evil and the curse of rebellion. And we take this opportunity and we repent for every area of our life of justification of sacrifices. And the promotion of rebellion. We break and loose ourselves from every emotional attachment of every rebellious spirit and every false sacrifice associated with every idol of people, places, and things. And we command those emotional spirits to loose us and to leave us, go to the pit and not return, that we may be filled with your spirit, washed by the blood, with a pure heart and clean hands, and that you may be glorified in each and every individual life here, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.